following breaking news tonight at 7. A judge investigating the 2021 assassination of Haiti's president Jovenel Moïse has issued a final report. His widow, Martine Moïse, former Prime Minister Claude Joseph, and the former chief of Haiti's National Police, Leon Charles, are indicted in the case.
Martine Moïse and Joseph are accused of complicity and criminal association. U.S. prosecutors have described it as a plot planned in both Haiti and Florida to hire mercenaries to kidnap or kill Moïse.
Welcome, welcome, world, to another great episode of the APE, known as Ape Academy Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Chase H. I'm going to introduce myself real quick. I'm a PhD student in history at the University of Houston. I'm a lover of all things Philadelphia sports. I am a combat veteran, father and husband, and a lover of current events, history, right? And the Second Amendment. So this podcast is a mix of all those things, right? And we're hoping to bring the most engaging stories from across history and from the present day with a little bit of commentary on self-defense and Second Amendment, all right? The right to bear arms. Alrighty, so happy you could join us today. We're going to do some quick housekeeping notes as we usually do. Please follow, rate, and review. So if you follow us, you will receive notifications. Every time a new episode is streaming, you will hear the chime, right? Bing! Or a vibration. You'll see on the top of your screen, there's that banner that pops up on your smartphone. You'll see APE Academy streaming now. All right? So that's how you know a new episode is out. If you have a few seconds, if you could please like and even write a review. I don't care if it's two words, this sucks, or a dissertation talking about how great and inspiring it is. I'll take that too. But just something to give us some feedback. It gives us a kind of a metric to look at ourselves and our progress and what type of changes we can make to get better, right? And also it helps us in the rankings. I want to be a top 100, top 50 history podcast. So we appreciate anything you could do to help. Also, we are on IG at Ape Academy Podcast. And that is my personal site, right, as the host. And then the official podcast site is a.p.e History Pod. All right. I'm going to jump right in. Enough housekeeping. We got our sources. Check the show notes for the sources. All right. It's going to be mostly news outlets. And interestingly, we have a primary source from the UN, an official report about the criminal markets of Haiti. All right. It's a UN report. We're going to read directly from that later in the episode. Okay. So if you haven't heard the last episode, Gangland, Haiti's Descent into Chaos, check it out. It's a great episode. It's setting the stage for what we see on the news now. It's describing what's happening now. It's describing a little bit of the preceding years. This one is going to take us a little bit further back on the timeline, right, to 2021. And this event was a very, very traumatic event for the people of Haiti. We're talking the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse in July 2021, okay? So a lot of the unrest now is actually caused by the power vacuum, all those factions fighting for power, trying to jockey for position so that they can get a seat at the head of the table. All right? So let's talk about it. If you don't know, gangs have taken control of 80% of Haiti's capital of Port-au-Prince, and they've been waging open war with internal security forces. And when we're talking about internal security forces, we're talking about the police and whatever element of any type of local police. So we got the National Police, the HNP, Haitian National Police, and the local police, right? And there's also some elements of a National Guard type, but there really is no internal security in Haiti. They've been attacking them. They've been waging open war, and they've been murdering, really massacring many innocent civilians, attacking neighborhoods, looting, beating people, kidnapping people for ransom, etc. On today's episode, we will discuss the plot to kill the president, and we'll also try to unravel some of the motivations behind the major actors who planned the attack. Three Haitian Americans and a Colombian have been charged in the U.S. for the brutal murder of President Moïse. Moïse was gunned down in his private presidential residence in the capital of Port-au-Prince, which plunged the country, which at the time was already suffering from rising violence and an economic crisis, including a crippling natural disaster in 2010. It plunged them further into chaos. Moïse, who was 53 at the time of his death, lived in the palace, which was located in the hills above the city. So it was kind of like overlooking the city, looking down into the city. He was killed at 1 a.m. local time. He was shot 12 times and had bullet wounds to his forehead and several to his torso. His left eye had been crudely gouged out, and the bones in his arms and his ankles had been broken. He died at the scene, and he was found lying on the floor on his back with his shirt riddled with bullets and soaked in blood. The First Lady, Martine Moïse, was also shot, but luckily she survived. But the plot thickens a lot. Interestingly, within the last 2 months, as recently as February of 2024, Mrs. Moïse has been accused of taking part in the plot as being a conspirator in the plot to kill her own husband. We'll discuss these new developments later in the episode, all right? So who shot him, right? Who would have the nerve, the gall, the cojones to go in there and kill the president of a major Caribbean nation? Haitian officials allege that a group of mostly foreign mercenaries, 26 Colombians and 2 Haitian Americans, carried out the killings. The 2 Haitian Americans, one of which was a DEA informant, which came out later, they told interrogators that they had been hired as interpreters on the internet. The 2 claimed that they did not know that there was a plot to murder the president, but that they believed that they were only there to act as translators when he was arrested. So, as we discussed in our last episode, Haiti's 2 primary languages are Haitian Creole and French. So, of course, none of the Colombian hit squad members were able to communicate with their local allies. Whoever they bribed to help them, they couldn't communicate. So that's where the 2 Haitian Americans come in. One of the Haitian Americans even told authorities that he had been given what he believed was an official arrest warrant for President Moïse. Most of the Colombians had been identified as former soldiers, including a former lieutenant colonel in the Colombian army. Family members of the suspects told Colombian media that the men believed that they had been hired to provide security, private security abroad to people in Haiti. And let's talk about this private contractor thing, because it's a big deal, okay? Private contractors are huge in Haiti, okay? And especially for former Colombian soldiers. After retiring from the army, many Colombian soldiers go to work for private security firms abroad, mainly in the United Arab Emirates, where their skills for fighting violent guerrilla groups are highly valued. In January 2023, dual Haitian American citizens James Solange and Joseph Vincent, along with Colombian citizen Jermaine Alejandro Rivera Garcia, were charged by U.S. Justice Department with conspiracy in connection with the assassination. Another Haitian man, Dr. Christian Emmanuel Shannon, who is a pastor and lives in Florida, was charged with smuggling. U.S. Justice Department officials alleged that Mr. Solans and Dr. Shannon met in April of 2021 to, quote, discuss regime change in Haiti and support for Shannon, an aspiring political candidate. So Shannon had his eyes on the throne, wanted to remove Moïse from power in order for him to take charge. All right. Classic plot. Three other people, including a prominent Haitian former senator, have been formally charged in connection with the case by U.S. officials. So let's talk about who hired the Colombians. Haitian Police Chief Leon Charles said Dr. Shannon, a Haitian-American pastor, was a key suspect in the case. According to Charles, Dr. Shannon hired 26 of the 28 hitmen through a Miami-based company called CTU, which was run by a Venezuelan national. Shannon was the first person that the Colombians called when they were surrounded by police shortly after the murder. So if you needed someone to not dry snitch and not literally lead the authorities directly to you, these were not the guys to do that. They were super unprofessional to call the guy who hired them before they even got arrested, as they were getting arrested, I should say. Shannon flew to Haiti in June of 2021 in a private jet with, quote, political motives. He was found with weapons, ammunition, and even a DEA cap in his possession. So he had like a drug enforcement agency, drug enforcement administration agency, whatever I should say, a prop. He had a prop, almost like a disguise on him. So he was already, he was probably using that that disguise to show whatever broker that he was hiring to go through the Colombians with. He probably was showing him as a prop, like what the uniform would look like. The police chief suggested that the Colombians may have been tricked by Dr. Shannon, who had grandiose plans of becoming Haiti's next president. Quote, the initial mission that was given to these assailants was to protect the individual named Emmanuel Shannon, but afterwards the mission changed, end quote. Charles said this in an interview, but he did not mention if all or any of the suspects had actually been briefed on what or how the mission had changed. Another prime suspect was identified by Haitian authorities as the former Senator John Joel Joseph, who was accused of supplying weapons and logistical support. He was arrested in January in Jamaica. Still on the run is Joseph Felix Baudio, a former official in the Justice Ministry's anti-corruption unit. So let's talk about how these guys actually got into the presidential palace. How did they gain access to the president? Video footage taken by residents shows armed men dressed in black pulling up to the mansion in a caravan of black SUVs disguised as DEA agents. A man thought to be security looks like he was forced to lay face down in the street while another of the commandos can be heard shouting in English over a bullhorn, DEA operation, everybody stay down. Haiti's ambassador to the U.S. said that while the attackers had disguised themselves as DEA agents, he believed that there was, quote, no way they were believable. There was no way. If you took 2 seconds to look at these guys and had any type of logical common sense, you would know there are no way these guys are DEA agents. No freaking way. Officials said that the ground between the property's guardhouse and the residence itself was littered with shell casings, which on first glance should indicate an intense, if not brief, gun battle with perhaps Moïse's personal security detail. Yet, curiously, the only people shot were the president and his wife. You would figure if his bodyguards came out to protect them, maybe one of his bodyguards would have been shot and killed. Maybe they would have killed one of the assailants right in front of the house if there's a big gun battle, but that was not the case. The only people that were shot were the president and his wife, a fact which has raised eyebrows and a lot of questions about the possibility of an inside job. Remember that clip in the beginning of the episode? The group seemed to have met little to no resistance during their entry inside the home nor during their getaway. Two domestic staff were tied up, and the presidential couple's adult daughter hid in her brother's bedroom and was found later unhurt. The timeline immediately following the assassination is still not very clear. Some of the suspects were tracked down to a nearby house and taken into custody. Others were believed to have escaped by sea. All right, so breaking news right off the presses about, I don't know, I guess it's not breaking, it was about 2 months ago, but the most recent update to the case occurred this past February when a judge investigating the 2021 murder issued a final report that indicted his widow, Martine Moise, ex-Prime Minister Claude Joseph, and, get this, the former chief of Haiti's National Police, HNP, Leon Charles, among others. Remember him, the same guy who was head of the initial investigation? Now, all of a sudden, he's indicted 2 months ago. The indictments are expected to further destabilize the country, with a total of nearly 50 suspects indicted in the 122-page official judge's report. Charles, who is currently serving as Haiti's permanent representative to the Organization of the American States, faces the most serious charges: murder, attempted murder, possession and illegal carrying of weapons, conspiracy against the internal security of the state, and criminal association. Meanwhile, Martine Moise and Joseph are accused of a complicity and criminal association. All right, so I wanted to read a quick excerpt from the UN report talking about private security companies. All right, so I did this. I found this. You can find this report on Google. It's really interesting. I'm looking for the title here. I should have it right in front of me. Of course, I don't. It is from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, and it's entitled Haiti's Criminal Markets: Mapping Trends in Firearms and Drug Trafficking. So that information will be in the show notes. All right. So if you want to check it out more closely for yourself, just go to the show notes. Okay. So we talked about how in the last episode, how Haiti's political elite have all the power, have all the money. All right. Let's talk about this real quick. Haiti's political system has been described by the World Bank as, quote, driven by capture, rent seeking, and clientism, leading to widespread abuses of power and corruption. Elected and appointed officials at all levels of government and across multiple sectors have been implicated in illicit activities ranging from corruption, fraud, and money laundering to supporting gangs to bolster their political power and capacity to influence elections. Does that sound familiar? Influencing elections, fraud, money laundering, corruption. Kind of reminds us of the situation we're going through in America with former President Trump and all of his indictments. Doesn't sound too far-fetched, too far away from what's going on in Haiti. As detailed in the unilateral sanctions announcements, several members of Haiti's economic elite are suspected of involvement in criminal rackets, including influential Haitian families and members of the diaspora in the U.S. and the Dominican Republic. The announcements highlight the concentration of political and economic power in the country. A handful of Haitian family dynasties account for the vast majority of the country's overall wealth. Some of them are involved in the agricultural, manufacturing, shipping, and logistical sectors, while others oversee import-export operations. Several prominent Haitian business people have also acquired honorific diplomatic titles, conferring a level of immunity and reductions in import and export tax. So think about that. So the same people who are controlling the money and the political access in Haiti are also given diplomatic immunity, so they can commit crimes openly and not be prosecuted internationally. And if they're already running Haiti internally, that means there's no punishment for them. I mean, that is, I mean, it sounds like America, but a lot more open and out in the, just out in public, right? All right, we're going to take a quick water break, quick potty break, quick stretch break. We'll be back in a flash in about 30 seconds. Ape. beats fire. All right, all beats are from freebeats.io, guys. Check them out on YouTube. All right. Let's hop right back into the UN report. We're almost at the end, but this is a really important part. I probably should have read this in the beginning, but I just want you guys to understand the power that these private security companies have in countries that are really struggling, like Haiti. Countries like Haiti who are struggling, who don't have a strong central government, these countries tend to take over, and it's pretty disturbing. Okay. Due to mounting concerns with crime and insecurity, private security companies have expanded across Haiti in recent decades. Many provide close protection services for the country's political and economic elite, as well as protection for public facilities, critical infrastructure, and small and medium businesses. Significant numbers of such companies also recruit directly from the HNP, Haitian National Police, with officers either moonlighting or leaving law enforcement altogether to work in the more lucrative private sector. Some of these entities have been implicated in firearms trafficking. The growth of private security in Haiti coincides with similar patterns of private security expansion across Latin America and the Caribbean, alongside a deepening security crisis following the 2010 earthquake, and particularly since the departure of the UN Stabilization Mission in Haiti in 2017. So once the UN peacekeepers left, that's when things really got bad. So UN peacekeepers leave in 2017, security worsens. All of a sudden, there's all these things that are happening. Private security companies are expanding their reach in the region. The president is assassinated. All right, there's a power vacuum. Gangs begin to take over. All right, you can kind of see the dominoes falling in a row. All right, let's look this over real quick. All right, here we go. The suspect in the assassination of Haiti's President Moïse inside of his home included a team of mercenaries connected to a small U.S. firm, which reportedly offered close protection support, training in firearms, and access to military-style equipment. This is not the first time U.S.-owned private security companies have been implicated in murky ventures in Haiti. In February 2019, for example, several U.S. contractors were reportedly arrested in Port-au-Prince with a cache of weapons and military equipment. They claimed to be providing security to both the government and private security details for local business elites. According to accounts given to media, they were released by the Haitian Justice Ministry following U.S. intervention and freed without charge. Private security firms officially emerged in Haiti following the end of the Duvalier dictators. I cannot speak French. In the late 1980s, Haiti's 1987 constitution did not originally include provisions for such enterprises. In fact, Article 263 specified that the armed forces and police were the only armed groups permitted to operate in the country. However, of course, there's always a but. A 1988 decree and a 1989 amendment legalized private security companies. In 1994, oversight passed from the disbanded armed forces to the HNP via a presidential decree. So the Haitian National Police is now responsible for overseeing private security companies. Today, private security companies are permitted to acquire and hold firearms in Haiti. The 1988 and 1989 legislation permit firearm license for up to a half of the registered personnel of a private security firm. Only certain categories of weapons, handguns and shotguns, are permitted. All license applications must be made to the Minister of the Interior and Territorial Collectives, the MICT, and the Haitian National Police is responsible for delivery and oversight of firearms through a registry managed by the Central Department for Administrative Police. That's a lot of bureaucracy. A lot of corruption. Although analysts believe that local private security companies oversee a far larger arsenal than what is legally permitted, information on the scope and scale of their arsenals is unavailable. All right, so we all know we all know what happens, right? We all know the story. Okay, the people who are in charge of monitoring you are actually being hired by the people who are monitoring you. So you're hiring the people who are monitoring you if you're a private security company, meaning you have free reign to do whatever you want. All right, they're on your payroll. It's in their best interest to look the other way and allow you to do things, because the Haitian National Police does not pay a lot, okay? I guarantee you that. So, hey, if you can make extra money for your family or even pursue your own ambitions for power, for position, doing it through a private security company might be the way to go. This is like Dr. Shannon believed when he hired those Colombians to kill President Moïse. All right, so that's it for today's episode. I keep it at 25, 30 minutes. I really encourage you guys to check out this UN report. All right, the link will be in the show notes. The information will be in the show notes. This is not an indictment, as I said, of Haiti. This is just a podcast to help raise awareness to what's going on in the world today. All right, Haiti is a crumbling nation, and whatever information I could put out there to make the world aware of it, I will happily do so. All right, real quick, I'm going to sign off with some administrative stuff. All right, please follow, rate, and review. Also, follow us on social media. We're on TikTok at Ape Academy Pod, IG at Ape Academy Podcast, and a.p.e History Pod. Thank you for joining us. We love y'all. We hope you enjoyed the episode. God bless y'all. Ape out.